Max Forte here with another Max Chat podcast episode. Today we have the pleasure to talk to Eva Petrić. She's a native of Slovenia. She's a conceptual artist with intermediate artist skills. She works with different disciplines like fine arts, photography, performance, writing, and an added bonus, which is fragrance blending, which we'll be talking about very soon. So welcome to the show, Eva.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So tell us a little bit, first of all, where are you right now? I know you're not in the US, but I know sometimes you're here in the US, but I think you are in Austria, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm in Vienna at the moment because I have a big project going on here. But otherwise, I'm kind of inhabiting a triangle, which includes Slovenia, my birthplace, Vienna, Austria, and New York City.
Great. So you are, first and foremost, an artist of many different skills and many different fronts, right? What kind of artist are you? So if you can go back a little bit and explain to us, so you're native of Slovenia and your whole passion of artistic skills started with what kind of arts?
So actually, for me, kind of looking at the arts and being a part of it started when I was very small with dance. It was classical ballet, which I started, funnily enough, in a Russian ballet school in India, New Delhi. And I stayed with classical ballet till I was end of high school in New York City. So I think this world, of theater, and you have music and a whole atmosphere and storytelling really stayed with me also after I quit ballet and put all my energy into the visual arts, which today I would, describe myself as a multimedia artist because I use various types of media. So for me, it's not more important to make a photograph or to work with, paint or dance or fragrance. It's about the atmosphere. And that's what also really, got me excited and interested in fragrance because I really believe that there is nothing more powerful than fragrance to conjure up a particular atmosphere and to, in a way, teleport us somewhere else.
I agree. So for those, there's a new terminology, I think it's called transmedial artists. So basically, it's like a fusion of all different arts, correct?
Yes, that's true. You Amazing. Are more updated with the terminology than me. Transmedial, exactly.
And I think it's great because you hit all the points. I mean, we're talking music, we're talking performance, we're talking dance, we're talking fragrance, we're talking, colors, sculpturing. So you really hit all the points. And we're going to talk about that very soon once we start diving into your actual fragrance brand, which I'm enamored with. I was really floored by, first of all, what the fragrances smell like. You do have your own profile, your own signature on those fragrances. And for someone who hasn't had any kind of, formal training, that's very admirable. But let's continue a little bit on your background. So starting with your first passions or arts and everything, how did the fragrance came into your world? When did you start really diving into the fragrance? Can you remember like when you were little as a kid or when did your fragrance passion started?
So I think it was actually, I started first grade in Delhi in India. And for me, it was a totally different world. And we have to realize so many years ago there was no email yet existing. So when you moved, you moved 100%, and India is complete opposite of what Slovenia was. So I, as a little girl, I had a lot of kind of time on my own to explore and make sense of this completely different environment. And I think as a child, you're anyhow, because you also don't understand the different language, you're trying to make sense and observing more. And I remember India, one of the strongest memories is the fragrance. So from the worst smells I've experienced to the most beautiful, intense smells. I remember, and even now when I was back there last November for two art performances, I was using flowers as a part of my performance, roses. And it's incredible, the roses you get there, then you feel all other roses are, not real roses after you smell the roses there. So it's this coming together of extremities. That just this strong memory of India from when I was so small is strong in me. And it made me want to explore that further and the power of it. which brought me to fragrance. And the first kind of encounter was I wanted to include the aspect and the sense of fragrance to one of my installations, which I made in Buenos Aires. It was called Hematoma. And it was like questioning traumas and, you know, bad experiences and how you can translate them into something positive. And that's the first time I actually wanted to also expand the senses of the visitors, not just have them use their eyes, but also their nose.
So it's incredible to see, you know, the diversity you have with all the different places that you've lived. You so traveled. You lived in India, in Austria, New York, and you're naturally from Slovenia. Have you lived in any other countries? I'm sure you've visited different countries more than so, but have you ever lived in different countries, let's say, you know, other Asian countries or other more eccentric countries?
So I lived in Ethiopia as a baby, and then wow. We moved to Delhi, to India, Asia. I lived also in Argentina, and I spent time in Japan for my work, but I didn't live there for like a larger portion of my life, which I would really like to, because I really appreciate the Japanese sensibility and sensitivity to detail, and actually, especially in terms of fragrance, I was really, you know, interested to explore, because it's interesting, kind of the Arab world, we're used to, you know, stronger fragrances. Why is that? Whereas with the Japanese, we're used to more subtle, flowery fragrances. So those are the things I think you can only kind of really understand if you live in a place for a longer time. You become part of that environment. If you visit, you can tap into it for a bit. But not that much. And I'm happy and fortunate that I was able to experience kind of the mid-ground India, which is Asia, but also kind of its own place. And like I mentioned, I think there, India is the place of like extremes meeting together and having to also collaborate and be in a dialogue together.
I agree. I think you can only really, you know, live and understand a culture when you live there. That's when you really, you know, immerse and like deep dive into a culture. When you just visit, it's very superficial. I agree with that. So how many languages do you speak?
So not that many, actually. But I mean, I speak Slovene, which is my mother tongue. Then Croatian, which is quite similar. English, Spanish, German, and yeah, I think that's it.
Amazing. So going back to the fragrances, so you really dove into the fragrance world, and we're going to talk about your brand in just a second. But do you remember which fragrances caught your attention when you were growing up? Do you remember maybe wearing something, you know, as a signature scent, or maybe liking something your parents wore, or just something you smelled in somebody? Like from, like you said, around first grade, you started to develop your taste for fragrances. So do you remember as a young child and teenager, which fragrances really caught your attention?
Yeah, so I mean, like I think most children or girls, you know, they look at what their mom has in the bathroom and what she wears. So I remember actually in India, my mom had this little beautiful black bottle. It was kind of like a shape of lips, and that had an amazing fragrance. It must have been some kind of French perfumer, I think, but I don't know and remember. But otherwise,
it's not this, is it?
No, but it looks similar though, in a way, but the whole bottle was the lip.
Okay. By the way, guys, you can't see the bottle because this is obviously a podcast, but what I'm showing her is Salvatore Dali, which is also an artist. This is Salvatore Dali, Eau de Toilette, which is like a Fougere, but I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eva.
Yeah. But, otherwise for me, it was, the unique thing is I never like wear just one fragrance. I always mix, and I never mix them in the same way. Like, I don't know why I have a problem to wear just one fragrance. Even when I go into a store, like if I go consciously to smell, like, of course I'll just smell that one fragrance. But then when I leave to perfume myself, I will do a big, like kind of mixture. And I guess that has to do with like how I feel, kind of how I want to express on the outside to other people surrounding me through the fragrances that I pick and curate and put on myself. But flowery fragrances, again, you know, kind of this experience with India, have definitely been, you know, one of my favorites, but always to add something unexpected as well. Because yeah, flowery, it denotes like feminine and fresh and clean and life, but then you want something more unique added to that. Something that, you know, you feel like no one else can also have. So that was kind of the way I go about it and what I'm drawn to. Not so much, I've never been such a big fan of like very kind of oud fragrances, maybe in combination with something where the oud creates a like a kind of
special effect. You
know, exactly, but not where you can like really say, oh, that is oud. I've never been drawn to that.
Just adding texture and dimension, but not not itself. And I agree with you, Eva, when it comes to layering, I like to do that a lot, you know, layer fragrances, I think, because my purpose when I'm wearing a fragrance, of course, I want to smell good, I want to feel good. But I think when you layer fragrances, you create something exquisite, you create something different, something unique. So you're not going to smell like everybody else. Even if you take, you know, a couple quote unquote popular fragrances and you mix them with something that really brings something new to the mix, it's something that I enjoy. And I have a lot of fragrances, so I need to layer because I'll never wear them all. So, you know, I love discovering new things. So I agree with you. I do enjoy layering. I think it's a very fine practice. I do enjoy wearing some fragrances on their own, but I think by layering your fragrances, you'll discover a lot of unique things. So let's get into your fragrance discoveries and how it all started. You know, as an artist, you have multifaceted, you know, to your crafts. You do a lot of different things, you know, dancing, performing, you know, I think you paint, you also sculpt. So why fragrances, and when did that became a thing? When did you say and have that realization, I'm going to start doing fragrances? Take us through the whole journey.
So, I mean, I've always loved wearing fragrances. I don't even remember when I started, because I think I started wearing fragrance so long ago that I can't really depict the particular moment. But mostly because, I mean, like I said, I think fragrance can really teleport us. It can conjure up, you know, like forgotten memories and experiences. And I don't see any other like way to do that, really. So that's for me like magic. And also, there's such a deep bond to this kind of universal, you know, we use in different traditions, even rituals, we use fragrance like in the churches, in different shamanic practices. So I think it has to do something also with this collective memory of humans and a kind of, you know, initiation and passing into a different state. And I really like that. I like this aspect of the kind of magic. And at the same time, it's not material. And that fascinates me, like, because you experience it, yet, you know, you have to let it go. It disappears. And it's also, it has such an effect, but at the same time, no fragrance smells the same on every skin. It's unique to every person's skin and even your own skin. It's a dialogue with like your, not just your physical body and how your hormones are working to create like how your skin is at that moment, but also your mental state, you know, how you're perceiving that fragrance. So it's something that's so bounded to the moment, but also so unique. There's not really anything like it, I think.
I agree with you 100%. I think fragrances are a magical elixir. I mean, it's transportive. It just conjures up emotions, memories. It takes you to different places that you haven't even been there, but it makes you feel incredible. There's like definitely this powerful feeling with fragrances. And one thing I love about Eva is, and I met Eva a few weeks ago at Bergdorf and Goodman. She's a very spiritual, very deep person. And we're going to talk about her line right now. You guys will be able to see that. I love the way she does things. There's definitely a purpose. There's definitely an intention. And it's definitely like a unity between, you know, mind, spirit, and body. It's just, I love her line. And the line we're talking about here, of course, is her fragrance collection, which is Data Bank of Emotions. Now, talk us through the name, first of all, Data Bank of Emotions, I'm sorry. And why did you choose that name? And what is the ethos and the mission of the fragrance that you created, the fragrance brand that you created?
Yeah, so my kind of tagline or logline first was, this is not a fragrance. This is a DBE, a data bank of emotions. And precisely like what I was saying, so fragrance, it pulls out from us like emotions we want to suppress, or, you know, good or bad. It doesn't distinguish between the two. Whatever it attaches, whatever kind of experience the emotion fragrance taps into and attaches onto. But at the same time, you know, I was thinking, so fragrance is so tightly connected with emotions, which I think is really the unique thing of us humans. We're givers and keepers and sharers and carriers of emotions. So fragrance is really like a data bank, an information of something, data bank of emotions. And that's the name of the whole perfume series, within which there's, of course, you know, different types. So the first one I actually created, it was as meant as a unisex perfume, is a message from Earth. And so the bottle also speaks to the idea of the perfume. It looks like a bottle that you know, with a message that you would throw in the ocean. But instead, so we look into the future, we throw the message into the ocean of outer space, into the black cosmos. And what is the message? So not a written piece of paper inside the bottle, but fragrance. And that's the message of us humans, because the fragrance to whoever will encounter it, potential space dwellers or astronauts, will, you know, give them some kind of emotion. And that's our message. So this is kind of how I was looking at it, as perfume being a form of communication. And actually, I mean, that goes back to its also elemental form, because as I guess most of us, you know, would agree and know, we communicate also unconsciously through the pheromones. So that was just a way of kind of giving back fragrance its what it really is, taking it out of the aspect of just being a commercial entity, which, you know, is how we usually encounter fragrance in perfume shops.
True. Now, within your collection, I know there is a duo. There's a fragrance that is two in one. There's like a white counterpart and a dark counterpart. That's the one I like the most, the dark one from that collection, that duo. And then there's one that has a red cap, which I really, really, by the way, guys, the caps are incredible. I think, Eva, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you sculpt these caps by hand. These are all handmade caps, correct?
Yeah, the caps are all handmade, as are also the bottles. Each one is hand engraved. So the caps are different ceramic materials, from white clay to red clay to dark clay. And these are made by my collaborator, Mateja Šuštaršić-Dimić. Whereas the Angel Hound, the duo perfume you mentioned,
yes,
those are hand cut plexiglass caps, which come together to form a sculpture of like one figure together.
And by the way, that particular duo is amazing, because each fragrance is different. One is a little lighter, one's a little darker, but when you combine them, we were talking about layer before, it just becomes something so special when you layer them. And if folks want to try these fragrances, you know, are they available worldwide? Because I was able to experience them. By the way, I want to give two shout outs here in this podcast. One, we do have a friend in common, of course, Priscita Newman. She's a great friend of ours. She's also a part of Scent Explore. She's a big writer, big, you know, she's the senior writer for the event. And of course, I think you know him as Antoine. I know him as Emitsu, which is the gentleman that actually introduced me to your brand. It wasn't even Priscita. This gentleman actually introduced me to your fragrance line. He thought it would be incredible to learn about your fragrance line, and I'm so grateful to him. So shout out to Emitsu and to Priscita. But please proceed with explaining. We're talking about layering, and this collection, this duo, this white and dark, is one set that somebody can purchase, and you can wear them individually, or you can layer them to create something extremely, you know, special, right?
Exactly. So I was, you know, I'm always looking, like I said, fragrance, I'm interested in it, not just as a commercial product. And that's the, I guess, the good thing about being, you know, an artist who is approaching this as like a form of exploration and as an art project, something unique. I don't have to sell an, I don't know how many amount of bottles to not to, you know, make sure my company stays alive. So I can really be in a way, how to say, if I dare to say, sincere more. I haven't seen on the market a fragrance which would have two very different fragrances, but the end fragrance would be one of, which means you mix both of them on the same place on your skin. But then, of course, depending on your feeling or what you're doing that day, you could also just use them separately. So they would, these two fragrances are in a way, you know, bringing together the two different sides of that all of us humans carry within us, or two different faces. I call them Angel Hound, name of the fragrance. Or if you're like using it as a family home couple fragrance, you know, one person can use the angel, one can use the hound, or they can mix them. That could also be a possibility. So this was kind of the motivation behind creating this. But really, you know, trying to look for two very different fragrances and how they would not like cut each other out, but complement each other when put together and still work on their own. That was well said. The problem I wanted to solve. Yeah.
So in your portfolio right now, in your collection, you have a combined total of how many fragrances? Four plus the duo?
Exactly. That's the DBE line. That's, you know, financed all by me with my name. But I have created fragrances, how I actually learned and, you know, gained the different people with whom I collaborate, you know, on boxes, on there's a lot of different little steps along the way, was actually when I was commissioned to create a perfume for a 5-star hotel in Sri Lanka. And this was many years ago, before niche perfume was such a big boom. And I remember how difficult it was to find people and companies that I could, you know, just get to fill my perfume with ethanol, because they said, oh, you don't have like so many thousands, to do. Like, no, we're not interested. Sure. So actually, yeah, that was my kind of education. And that project was a commission. So I was able to make a lot of mistakes, stay on a kind of, how to say, personally zero budget, because I made so many mistakes, I had to correct them. But I learned. And from there, I progressed and I created more perfumes, actually for a medical company that would always, every year, they wanted to give like as presents and to also have with their logo a perfume line. So I did a lot of perfumes for them. But of course, that was always, you know, catering to the end, to somebody else's taste. Not I wasn't the one in the end who said, oh, this is how it's going to be. So that was a kind of not, I would say, I would do maybe some things differently.
Got you. So real quickly, just so we go through your portfolio before we talk about, you know, more of the brand and what's to come. So Angel Hound is the duo, which you get a black and a white. Now, do they have individual names, the Angel Hound, or it's just one name and it's a duality fragrance?
So they do. So each bottle, which I mentioned, is hand engraved by me. One, the light transparent white bottle, contains the black engraving, which is called Angel. And the black bottle with the white engraving is called Hound. When placed together, they form a sculpture, which is one piece, one body form. And on one side is written Angel, on the other Hound.
Got you. By the way, I love that layer, that duo, that fragrance is incredible. I do prefer the darker one, but they're both incredible. And then obviously we have the DBE. There's one that's called DBE by Eva Petrich, which is the moon. And then we have the empathy. Then we have the earth. And then my favorite, which is Curiosity, which has the red cap. Yes. Those are the four in your collection currently, correct?
Yes, exactly. And I'm so happy you mentioned that you like Curiosity, because for me personally, that was the one I was kind of, I don't know, was never like, you know, if you have to choose which ones you like most, it's difficult because you love all your children, let's say. But that one, I don't know. So I'm pleasantly surprised that, like, on a lot of men's skin, curiosity really takes on, like, a new kind of life. So that's for me, like, a real nice kind of experience.
Amazing. Now, what is in the horizon? What is to come? Do you have any fragrances that you're currently working on? I'm sure you do. And if so, what is the next step in the collection? What's the, you know, long-term or short-term or mid-range launches that you're planning out for the line?
Yeah, I'm always, you know, thinking and exploring what to do and also looking at, like, what's around, you know, and trying to see, oh, what's missing or why? Because you kind of, at least I do, you see a kind of trend in the, you know, perfume business. And I try to be a kind of the antithesis to that because I guess like I can afford to be in a way. So that's always for me. It's connected with the time and what's going on. What is my inspiration? I'm definitely interested to, you know, continue this way that the bottle is always also a unique art object, which means that it takes me a lot longer to create a bottle because hand engraving it and making the top with a ceramic that's handmade is just a long process. But at the same time, it keeps the line really small and unique. And of course, it means that I run out of the line quickly too. And I don't want to repeat myself. So there's other lines which I want to continue also working as each having like their own particular frequency. So the DBE has frequency 528, which is the so-called love frequency or DNA repair frequency, while the Angel Hound has the frequency of 639 hertz, which is so-called frequency of balance and for relationships. So I want to also continue on that much more. And just a fragrance, you know, looking into the future and exploring even further and really also concretely, like how we can conjure up new worlds or let's say forgotten memories, because I think that's one thing that, you know, people are so scared of AI and things like that. I mean, as long as we humans have a control and an awareness of it, I think there's no fear of for that necessary, really. But what is fearful to me is like that, you know, people should be seen really for their uniqueness and like how, you know, each fragrance smells differently on each skin. That's a nice proof of how unique we are as human beings. And I'm scared of the point where like we become so in a way similar because we're fed with like similar materials from the media and everything that we lose this. And I think fragrance is a way to keep this alive because fragrance, you can't like trick our human brain. You know, it's going to still smell differently and relate to different experiences. So I want to explore this further. And I guess that means fragrance in terms of like kind of therapy, future, and connected like with other worlds, but these other worlds being worlds we know, just we have forgotten them.
Got you. So uniting diversity, bringing together the many facets of life and many different tastes and colors. I love that. So real quickly, tell us about the ethos and the mission. If you had to say, okay, my fragrance brand stands for this. And by the way, I love the fact that you are limited because to me, when somebody asks me the definition of niche, I think it's limited because it has to be unique and not overly produced. Ingredients, of course, you know, fine ingredients, unique blends, and, you know, smaller quantities. And I think your brand stands for all of that. But tell us in your own words, what is the ethos or the mission of DBE? When somebody's learning about your brand, what would you tell them about your brand? What does your brand stand for and what can they expect, you know, with your fragrances?
So DBE, it would stand for, you know, if you find yourself in outer space in the future without your home and everything that you know to be home, you need the DBE to bring back all of that to you.
Got you. So in all essence, it's it's a brand that encompasses all things earth, all things home type of thing.
Yeah, the human.
The human. Okay. Got you. And do you think, like, if you have to quantify or qualify your style, how would you explain your fragrance style? Because I smelled your whole line at Bird Dove and Goodman, and you do have a signature. You do have a style that I really found very unique. For one, I found it very appealing. It was unique and niche, of course, but it also had this very familial, this very not attractive, but compelling is the word. It was very inviting, your signature, you know, with your fragrance blends. How would you describe your signature? Do you have like any favorite notes that you love to work with, or favorite palette or favorite genre, you know, a classification? Like, take us a little bit through your creative process within the fragrance genres and notes and compounds.
Yeah, so I always start out, you know, thinking what kind of experience, and that's again connected with emotion, do I want to bring out in the person who sprays that perfume? And then I try to, you know, delve into this experience, emotion, and kind of think through different ingredients that pop up into my head, just as first associations. What ingredients of those would create that kind of emotion experience? And then, like, there's always, like I said, I guess that's my, you know, this subjective preference, some kind of flowery aspect that, you know, kind of over colors the rest. I love peony, and I also love rose, but I don't want them to overpower. So then the next phase I'll go into is like looking for an ingredient which necessarily most maybe would say, oh, that's, you shouldn't include that, that's going to be horrible. And I will always try something out like that, because to my experience, it's always proven to be that what I need. So kind of for me, it's like a mind riddle, you know. I go about it that way, and that's what leads me then to actually try these different combinations. So kind of coming up with it in my mind first.
I love that. In fact, I do believe in what you said about, you know, sometimes when you think is, you know, the hardest thing to do when someone tells you, oh, I don't like this note, I think if you add this note, it's going to ruin the fragrance. In fact, you know, it's funny you said that usually when you think about something that's going to be wrong, or it's going to do a wrong effect to what you're trying to create, it actually gives you a positive outcome. And that's true to a lot of creations out there. A lot of things in the world that we love and live in were created by accident. Sometimes we tend to do, you know, we set out to do something, and those mistakes turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Just like one of the, if not the most known fragrance in the world, which is Chanel No. 5, was born that way. When the perfumer of Chanel No. 5 was actually presenting mods, I think he had 5 different mods, and he was showing it to Gabrielle, you know, from Chanel. And she was like, okay, let me try these mods now, because we're trying to release this fragrance. And the one that was labeled No. 5 was the mod that he said, yeah, don't worry about that one. I overdid it on the aldehydes. You're not going to like it. It's a little bit too overpowering. And she's like, you know what? Let's go with this one, because it's going to give people this weird effect, because it's very overpowering from the other ones. The other ones were just like slightly florals, and that one had this, you know, blast, you know, overly abundant aldehyde note. And she went with that one, that No. 5, that became what we know today as, or for hundreds of years now, Chanel No. 5, which is, you know, what it is today, like the Coca-Cola of drinks or the Rolex of watches. It's the most known fragrance to man. So I agree with you. I think sometimes, you know, when we try to go with notes or things that are a little bit daring or a little bit hard to work with, is when we come up with some special things, you know, at the end of the day. So what is coming next, Eva? What is the next release in your collection? Do you have something that you're working on right now that's going to be coming out very soon in the next couple of months?
Yes, so not so soon, but because it's actually like a more elaborate series of fragrances. So now, just recently, I had this duo, which was, you know, like working kind of 3 fragrances at once. Well, this one is going to be even more complex. So I've complicated my future fragrance for myself. But like I said, you know, I have this love for layering and different combinations. So it's actually a fragrance working, on those idea of notes, and not that the viewers, that the audience themselves can create the fragrance, but they play a much more active role in how they curate their fragrance on their body. Not to say that I'm just selling like ingredients, that that's the intention, not at all. But I guess bringing the way I personally use fragrance myself more to also the audience, which is kind of quite a complex project, because I also wanted to have, you know, also like a visual unity to it. And again, to be something completely different, and each object being also assigned artwork that the person keeps, and also an element of sustainability, because, you know, as we all agree, we have so many physical things, and it always really, I have so many perfume bottles because I just can't throw them away. It's hard for me. I know the work that goes into them, not being even said if they're not, you know, handmade, hand engraved. So actually the Angel Hound, I went about, you know, making each bottle so that you can open it, unscrew it after the perfume is done, and you can use it as a vase. And this new series, I also want it to be little elements that people can then create into a little sculpture.
I love it. They can reuse it. I love exactly. That idea. That's a great idea. So this is going to be a new series, a new collection within your line that you're working on?
Yes.
Very nice. And how many fragrances within that line you work in, maybe? Maybe we can introduce a little bit of that new collection at Scent Explore, maybe at the end of the year, maybe like a preview if they're not ready yet. But it'll be a nice way for people to understand and see that new collection. And does that new line have a name yet or no?
The name, I'm still, the name is like such a, you know, important element of a fragrance, yeah. I think, that like I'm not 100% sure on it yet. Because for me, like the name, like DBE, it has to embody also kind of the mission of the fragrance, like, and it has to sound also, you know, catchy and be kind of universal.
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. No worries. You know, you'll let us know when you're good and ready. Now, so what is the future of the fragrance world, you know, in your eyes? Because you're a very deep person, you're very spiritual. So outside looking in, there's so many big companies out there. There's a lot of new companies, you know, such as yours. And by the way, when was your fragrance line founded? Is it a year, 2 years, 3 years? How long ago was DBE founded?
Actually, longer. The first one was in 2018. The first presentation of it was in Vienna in October or November 2018. And then it came to Bergdorf Goodman. And then unfortunately we had COVID. So it prevented, you know, having a lot of different presentations. But one nice thing about my fragrance, and this is also in line with why I want to focus on, you know, like I said, different worlds and exploring like the borders of, you know, also the borders of what we still perceive to be a fragrance, which is tricky because, like you said, with Chanel 5, you know, you want to wear something, if you put fragrance on yourself, that's not going to make people run away from you. But on the other hand, you want it to be something authentic too. So for me, that like creating a new fragrance is always also an exploration. How far can I push the limits of like the aesthetics and the like decided collective norm of what it means to smell good? Because that's also a tricky question. You know, we have different cultural kind of ideas about that. And also with time, it changes. Like in Asia, in Japan, they're much more sensitive about this personal space, and wearing a very strong perfume in a way is kind of like entering into someone's personal space. So I think in the Arab countries, it's important to have a strong perfume. They think oppositely about that. So I'm looking also how to, you know, approach these different cultural norms, and as an artist, also challenge them through the fragrance. So these are some aspects also that I want to
explore.
Continue. Yeah.
Very nice. And it's funny, you talk about Japanese brands. You know, there is a surge in really a lot of Japanese and South Korean brands emerging right now over the last, you know, 3-4 years. In fact, I am in talks with a South Korean brand and a Japanese brand to come to Scent Explore this year, which is really incredible. Their fragrances, like you said, they're very subtle, but they're very unique and they're very very inviting, very soothing. I do like the way they do things. You know, both South Korean and especially Japanese are very disciplined, very determined people. And what they do, it comes through in their fragrance blending so beautifully. And I want to also congratulate you here because this is then the 5-year jubilee. You're commemorating 5-year anniversary of your brand. And Scent Explore is also celebrating its 5 years. So we're both celebrating a 5-year anniversary. So that's really cool. We must celebrate.
Nice.
So I am very excited about, you know, learning more about your brand. Of course, I try the fragrances at Bergdorf. I don't own any of them yet. I haven't really gave them a full wearing as I want to really experience. Because like you said, just like, you know, our individuals, I think the print that we have in our thumbs, everyone has a different one. I think our skins are very different in the way that we wear the fragrances. It just transforms differently in everyone's skin. It's different for everyone that wears them. The way you feel, the way you wear them, the way you smell in somebody else is also different. So I can't wait to really dive into your brand. I'm very excited for what's to come. And if folks want to try your fragrances, Eva, where can they experience your line besides Bergdorf and Goodman? Can they buy them online? Give them, you know, anything you need to give them as far as where they can find your work?
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, they're pretty exclusive. They are available Bergdorf Goodman and Bergdorf Goodman. They're also online. They ship, but I'm afraid only in the US. Then they are available at the Vienna airport in the Liska shop, which also has a shop in Salzburg, in the heart of Salzburg and in the heart of Vienna. Then also they're available in Vienna at the Hans Jürgen shop on the Ring. In Slovenia, they're available at the shop of in the center. It's called Lanez Perfumery, which is a very interesting shop. It's a kind of gallery, perfume gallery, where you can really explore what fragrance is, but also very different perfume niche brands are being sold. And I also have on my website, you know, if somebody writes me that they're interested to order or to have a sample, I'm more than happy to provide them with a sample to send it to them. My website is, you know, my name, Evacuate, Eva Petrich Evacuate. So I'm happy to send to whoever is interested any of the fragrances.
That's very kind of you. And of course, for everyone listening to this podcast, of course, at the description of the podcast, you're going to have all of Eva's handles or Instagram, her website, where you can find the fragrance. I'm going to include everything on the description of the podcast so everyone has access to your beautiful fragrances. So this was a great, great chat. Very riveting. I can talk to you for hours. We are going to conversate more, of course. You know, I'm planning on doing an IG live with Eva to show you guys the bottles and go through the whole collection together. So stay tuned for that. But for now, this was pretty much an introduction to DBE and Eva Petrich, perfumer, artist. So this was a great little chat. Eva, thank you so much for being with us here today in this episode. And everyone, if you haven't tried her fragrance line, please do so. You're going to be very surprised with the quality of ingredients, the blends themselves. It is something very unique. And as you know, with Scent Explore, every year we bring something unique. Last year we did Premier Equate, a brand from the Middle East. So every year we have these very unique brands, which are like Starlight, Spotlight, up-and-coming brands. And I think Eva, even though she's been, you know, doing it for 5 years, I don't think she has enough people that know about the brand. And I really want to spread this love and let people know how good her stuff is. So Eva, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to say to everyone listening? Please, the floor is yours. Say whatever you need to say and say your goodbyes and your final considerations.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, really thank you. And I really appreciate, you know, people who go out of their way to not just buy, you know, big brands, but really trust their inner self, because when you buy a perfume because you really love it, not because there's been this and that commercial about it, I mean, that says a lot about you, that you're able to really, you know, observe and trust your intuition. And that's the point of perfume and art. So I really, you know, appreciate people who are so brave to listen to themselves. And maybe just one little thing to say. So the DBE, Message from Earth, the original one from which the DBE stems from. That actually, I had the nice experience on Sunday. I went to Haag to the Netherlands, and I was able to see, so the little cube of clay, which forms the top part of the bottle, was soaked into the perfume for 528 hours. And for the past year, it was at the International Space Station, and it just came back. So I saw it on Sunday in the Netherlands, and it was really just an amazing experience to see, you know, that also like NASA, ESA, they are also thinking about, you know, the validity of fragrance also in outer space and for the future.
I agree. I think people are becoming more aware, you know, with education, with knowledge, and how immersive the world of fragrances are, and the olfactory world of olfactory and smells are. I think people are getting even more and more deep into fragrance sharing and loving and understanding the power and the potential that this memory and emotion evoking juice has in our lives. So great words. Thank you so much, Eva, for being here with us. And everyone, stay tuned for more Max Chat episodes coming your way. This is season 4, and this has been a great conversation with Eva Patridge. We'll see you guys in the next one.